Heritage Month draws to a close. It's a time to celebrate the languages, stories and traditions that shape South Africa. Yet many indigenous languages, especially those of the Khoi and the San, face the threat of extinction. Today we hear from linguist Dr. Manon du Plessis, who documents these endangered languages.
What a wonderful month this is, with its focus on the rich diversity of our combined South African heritage, from different cuisines to traditional dress, from styles of music, musical instruments and forms of dance to our languages and literature. All of these things reflect specific ancestries, but there are also crossovers and new local versions. And for most South Africans today, I'm sure it's the entire glorious profusion of offerings that we treasure the most. For my part, I can't help holding a special place in my heart for the diversity of our languages. For many of us, English is seen as a kind of passport language, and so we tend to use it at our place of work, at our children's schools, or social gatherings, even though it may not be our first language, or certainly not the language of our parents or grandparents. But even so, most of us are at least bilingual, and often multilingual, so that the indigenous languages of our country continue to be spoken, used in vibrant debate, feature in novels and films, and have poetry and songs written in them. At the same time, there are some of our fellow South Africans whose ancestral languages have almost entirely disappeared. Not only this, but opportunities to learn them are hard to come by, and it's painfully difficult for people to find or know how to read and understand a poem or a prayer in any one of these languages, or even something as simple as a list of bird names or plant names. Of course, I'm talking about the languages of the Khoi and the San.
Dr. du Plessis explains that South Africa's linguistic heritage is more than just words. It's a record of history, identity and survival. The Khoi and the San languages, once widely spoken, are now endangered, with only a few elders keeping them alive.
These languages, which are often loosely referred to by the umbrella term Khoi-San, in fact belong to three quite different families, which most linguists doubt are even related to each other. In our own country, the main representatives are the languages once spoken by the various divisions of the Khoi, such as Nama, Kora, Hona, and Cape Khoi. These languages are all classified as part of the broader Khoi family. And the other representatives are the languages once spoken by the San, such as Xam and Ngu. These languages are classified as part of the Khoi subgroup of the Khoita family. Today, of course, there are very few speakers of any of these languages, although this is not to say there are none at all. As I think listeners will be aware, most of you will of course have heard of Oma Katrina Esau, who is the last living speaker of Ngu. There are also perhaps a few elders in parts of the country who may still speak some Nama or Kora, or what is sometimes referred to as Khoekhoa. And there are even varieties of Afrikaans, as spoken in Namaqualand, for example, where people may not fully speak Nama anymore, but nevertheless incorporate many Nama words and phrases into their everyday speech. Now, the picture is, of course, different in Namibia, where varieties of Nama and Dama still thrive, and also in Botswana, where we find speakers of several languages from the Kalahari branch of Khoi, as well as speakers of Ta varieties. And I could also mention the Zhou languages, which make up the third quite distinct family, spoken in Namibia, the Caprivi and Okavango areas, as well as in the south of Angola. But let's stay focused on South Africa. There are complex historical reasons for the demise of these languages. In the case of the Khoi, those who lived closest to the Cape learned to speak Dutch within the first decade of occupation in the mid-17th century. They remained bilingual, though, and there were still active speakers of Kora and South African Nama in at least the first part of the 20th century, but also towards its end and even into the beginning of the present century. In the case of the San, there was, throughout much of the 18th century, a sustained campaign against them of intentional genocide. Some survived, of course, although often it was then in a context of forced servitude where the language of the Baas prevailed. What's more, for people who'd always been able to live off the land, there was an added level of pressure brought about by the wholesale, wanton destruction of animals and vegetation. So these processes and others led to a loss not only of heritage, but also of history and identity.
Recognizing the urgent need to preserve these languages, Dr. du Plessis partnered with communities to document the Kora language and is currently working on extinct Kam language. These efforts not only save words, they save people's stories, culture and memory.
I had the opportunity, really the privilege, in about 2010 or 2011, to work with a passionate and gifted young historian, Mike Beston, who was personally driven by exactly these issues and had taken to travelling around rural areas of the Free State to trace members of original Griqua and Kurana communities. In the course of his work, much to his amazement, he started finding a few elders who still spoke some Kora. So I joined him, together with a few colleagues and activists, to work with Oma Yakuba McClure and Opa David Cooper and record their language. And it was out of this that my book on the Kora language emerged. And when I submitted the work to UNISAPRESS, the senior editor, Hedda Pieterse, became an instant champion. And thanks to Omar Badsha at South African History Online, we were also enabled to make the sound files available. Over the years, I've met a number of gifted young people who have engaged with the book. And it has humbled me more than I can say to discover just how much hard work people are willing to put in, completely against the odds, to try and recapture something of their ancestral culture. So I'm currently finishing up the first ever full-length linguistic description of the extinct language Xam, which was documented between 1870 and 1880 by Wilhelm Blake and Lucy Lloyd. Xam belongs to the same family as Ngu, but it is not the same language, and in fact is really quite different. Once the book is available, and I'm hoping that will be towards the end of next year, people will finally be in a position to learn how the language works and to read some of the texts in the original language. Perhaps they'll even enjoy learning a few words, such as Sa for Eland, Kwai for Springbok, and Kwing for Steenbok. I, for one, feel that this is a necessary act of restoration. Until this heritage is accessible to us all, we are missing pieces of who we are as South Africans. I wish more people knew how many of the place names throughout the interior and western parts of the country were first given by the Khoi, who had a profound knowledge of the terrain, the seasons, the lunar calendar, and the animals. Even the name of the Fowl River is a translation of an original Khoikhoi name. The two major tributaries to the Great Gariep, that's the Cape Gariep or Orange River, were known as the Black or the Dark Gariep, the Ngu Gariep, and the Yellow or Pale or Faal Gariep, the Tse Gariep. When it comes to the languages of the Saan, it's becoming more and more apparent that these are completely studded with borrowings from neighbouring languages. And these borrowings are not just words, but whole categories of grammatical elements, such as the locative expressions. And in some cases, they even involve entire patterns of grammatical formulation. Certainly they are puzzling. Why, for example, did the Xam not have a word of their own for elephant, but instead they borrowed the Khoikhoi word, Thwa? They also suggest a rather specific social history with very distinct patterns of contact. In other words, the language data provide us with significant historical evidence, which until now has largely been overlooked. For South Africans who may have the honour of being partially descended from some of the Khoi or San, they surely deserve to have a new post-colonial narrative that affirms and celebrates the extraordinary richness of their past and their presence in this land. As for the Xam in particular, we should never forget the sacrifices made by some of the speakers in order to have their language and stories written down.
While linguists like Dr. Du Plessis focus on preserving languages, cultural leaders like Lieutenant General November Philander of the Khoisan United Movement and the Khoisan National Self-Defense Unit remind us that heritage extends beyond words. It's about the land, traditions and the values that have guided communities for thousands of years.
For us as Khoisan, preserving our languages, stories and traditions is not only about remembering the past, but about ensuring that future generations know where they come from. Our mother tongue carries wisdom, our stories carry identity, and our traditions carry the values that kept our people resilient for thousands of years. Khoisan heritage is the root of South African history. Before there was a nation, there was the Khoi and San, the first people of this land. To preserve our heritage is to honor the foundation on which our country was built. Without it, the story of South Africa is incomplete. The Khoisan Nation Self-Defense Unit plays a vital role in this journey. We protect, promote, and defend our cultural identity while creating platforms for our youth to reconnect with their heritage. So our mission is not about conflict, but about safeguarding the dignity, unity, and the recognition for the First Nation people of South Africa. May we all work together to preserve this heritage so that the voices of our ancestors continue to guide us into the future.
From linguists documenting lost languages to community leaders defending centuries-old traditions, these voices show that heritage is more than history, it's identity. Protecting it is essential, not only to honor the past, but to guide South Africa's future. For Heritage Month, let us celebrate, preserve, and listen to the stories that make us who we are. For VOC News, I am Leandra Paulson.